From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. Rose Holdorf is on the steering committee and a teacher at the Tarweed School in Corvallis. Thank you so much for being on the Oregon Grapevine.
It's a joy to be here. Thanks.
On the webpage, it says, tending to the land, ourselves, and each other through the sharing of practical arts and place-based skills, and that it's one of a network of folk schools in the world, certainly in the country and in the world. So could you just start a little by explaining what the Tarweed School is, what a folk school is, and we'll go from there.
The idea of a folk school started in Denmark in the 1800s when Denmark was becoming a democracy for the first time. And a philosopher, poet, and writer named Grundtvig envisioned this platform for how rural Danish agricultural farmers could participate as citizens of a new democracy. And he thought, well, really, to enlighten everyone, we need to bring together this idea of real life and working with your hands and working in the dirt with learning and your mind. And if you bring together your hands, your heart, and your mind, then they're all in good relationship with one another, and we can be better citizens of the place where we live. So folk schools from there took off throughout Europe. They have a 100-year-old history in the United States. There's an alliance of folk schools in North America. Tarweed Folk School came out of a lot of those values for a group of us who had some history with folk schooling in other places and wanted to build a place for hands-on community-based learning in the Willamette Valley. Tarweed Folk School, we started meeting in potlucks, having potlucks and work parties as in a small group in 2019, and we offered our first kind of formal community-based classes in 2023. And this year we got our first kind of dedicated home in downtown Corvallis where we can offer classes.
There are folk schools throughout the world and certainly throughout the country, and specifically this one is based in Corvallis and in the Willamette Valley, and you talk about being in the Willamette Valley in a sense of place. So what are kind of the universal tenets that are part of folk school, and what are the specific things that a regional school might emphasize?
Folk schools are grassroots by nature, so they're meant to bring together the people who live in the place where the folk school resides, and anyone can be teachers and anyone can be learners. So I definitely feel that a folk school is going to be different anywhere you go because it's representative of the people who are there and who live there. There are some shared universal tenets that, like I said, you inspire the hands, the heart, the mind, and there are no grades. There's free of external measures or certificates. I know of folk schools in the Midwest that are rooted predominantly in singing culture. There's folk schools who were brought up in the civil rights movement as a hub for community discussion. Some of them tend more towards primitive skills and working with really, you know, rudimentary materials that you forage and use only from where you can harvest them off the direct land. And some of them are more craft oriented, so they're a little bit more contemporary and involved.
And it sounds like all of them are related to understanding that sitting in a room reading a book or having people tell you things is not the scope of what an education, I'll use the word should, I don't like that word, but should or can encompass.
Absolutely. Folk schools are about the folks. They're about the people and the people who come as a student and people who come as a teacher. Their teachers don't necessarily have higher degrees or teachers aren't necessarily accredited, and students can bring lots of different experience levels with them. We try not to have any prerequisites in any class. So you might be in a woodworking class with someone who's been woodworking for 40 years, but maybe has never tried this particular style of woodworking, working alongside someone who's really never touched a woodworking tool before. And I think in folk school learning, that is some of the most valuable experiences both students could have.
Why is the school named Tarweed?
Tarweed is a native wildflower, certainly to the Willamette Valley, but also throughout Oregon and the Western region. It is a plant that grows in every biome of Oregon, which is really special and has particular value in the Willamette Valley because it is a first food of the Kalapuya people. It was used for trade at the Oregon Falls and is a part of the community burning that took place in the Oak Savannah. So we have, you know, a few different landscapes here in the Willamette Valley, but Oak Savannah is a endangered ecosystem. And for many, many years, the indigenous folks who have been here will burn the Oak Savannah, and that helps the oaks thrive. And tarweed was named tarweed by the early settlers. The Chinookwawa word is shawala, and it is sticky. So settlers didn't like it because it stuck to their horses and their feet. And it's a tiny, tiny yellow flower that is in the sunflower family that grows up in prairie and savanna land. And when you burn it, it becomes less sticky and you're able to harvest these tiny, tiny seeds that can be used for grain and flour and other food sources.
You talked a little about the history of folk schools and specifically a civil rights piece and just a community building piece. How does that influence what is going on with specifically tarweed, but also just folk schools? What is the overall arching understanding of creating community around it?
I think that maybe now more than ever, but I think this is something that people need always, is a place to gather, to have a sense of belonging and to meet the people who live in your community, and to also engage with your working hands, with the land, the plants, the trees, the air around you, and to be in a space where you're learning something new. I think those are all really important things. We talk a lot about our values around kind of being in good relationship with the land, ourselves, and each other. And when you are connected with yourself, you know, you're connecting what you're thinking about with what your hands are doing. You're having moments of reflection and being in the present moment. When you're in good relationship with each other, you're engaging in conversation with someone who you might not meet in your everyday life. And when you are in good relationship with the land, the trees, the air we breathe, the dirt, the mycelium under our feet, then we can experience joy and we can have a sense of wholeness. And it's all about all of those things coming together in a space where we're humbly learning. We're always learning and asking more questions than we provide answers.
Before I ask you how you specifically came to folk schools, I want to do a little more universal question, and then we'll go there because I'd like to know how you found out about it. Are there always at a folk school this particular class? Like there's always going to be basket weaving, or there's always going to be woodworking, or is there's not a specific universal thing? It's more the general idea.
That's a good question. I'm not sure the answer is no, but there is no requirement for what a school can offer, but I do see some similarities. So oftentimes, but not certainly not always, folk schools are oriented around craft. And so there are a lot of woodworking and basketry classes, fiber arts. One popular class that both myself and another teacher at Tarweed offer is spoon carving. And I think something special and maybe something that embodies a folk school class at Tarweed is that we're not carving from you know, these blocks of wood that we get from the lumber yard. We're bringing in logs that we collected from our local arborists and our tree species that grow in the place where we live. We split them down with axes and froes and mallets for tarweed, and I think for other folk schools, about the connection. So we're linking together where the materials come from, acknowledging the species or the thing that it was, and making something out of it that is functional and utilitarian.
And how did you find folk schools in your life?
How did I find folk schools in my life? It was a pretty magical story for me. When I was 22 and a recent college graduate out of St. Paul, Minnesota, I embarked on a 4-month long bicycle trip around the Great Lakes. And my friends and I were interviewing people along the way about their relationship to the Great Lakes. And so we landed in this tiny harbor town called Grand Marais, Minnesota, which is right on the harbor in that town, next to Lake Superior. And we were visiting with a friend, and she said, "Oh, you're interviewing people about their relationship to the Great Lakes. Have you been down to the folk school yet?" And we said, "What's a folk school?" And we went down to the campus there to North House Folk School and met with the program director there, who I learned had studied the same thing as me in college, which was cultural studies. And at the time, coming from a liberal arts school in a recession, it didn't seem like a cultural studies degree was going to find a vocational path. And when I met that person, I thought, aha, folk schools, this is a place for me. And so years later, I went back to that folk school, and I was a craft education intern for a year on the campus there at North House. And when I came back to Corvallis, which is where I grew up, I asked around and met other people who knew about folk schools. And I met Kiko Denzer, who's a close friend and also a green woodworker, which was a predominant field in my studies at North House. And we said, well, hey, let's start talking. And we found other friends to join us. And we, like I said, we started having potlucks and work parties, and we just dream about what a folk school could be like in the place where we live.
And I know it's not specifically a homeschool, or the kids who are there are not specifically because they're homeschooled, and that's an addition to what they're learning. But how do the kids who are there, are they Waldorf kids? Are they kind of a variety of kids? How do you get them to be there? I can understand more, perhaps, or I think people might understand more, that adults need to figure it out and find new things to do and be creative. But how do you get the kids inspired to be part of this?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a challenge we're definitely working on, just because of the logistics of timing and liability. Honestly, most people who participate in our classes are adults. And if a kid wants to participate, their parent or guardian will also be registered. So it's up to the teachers to set the parameters of an age requirement based on the skill and level. But something remarkable, I feel, when there's a kid in a class, and if they're, you know, under 18, if they're 18 to 22, if they're in the age of parenting, or as folks get older, the multi-generational aspect of the classroom environment, something magical sparks. And it's really valuable as a teacher when I see that somebody who's 75 and sitting next to a 12-year-old, and they're both learning the same technique, they notice different things about what's challenging, what feels successful, and they can share that knowledge between each other and both learn from one another. So the aspect that a folk school and folk school learning can be multi-generational is so valuable to everyone who's participating.
At the beginning, you mentioned that anyone can be a teacher and anybody can be a student. It sounds organic and it sounds like it moves. So are new ideas coming forth, a student will say, I want to teach this, or where can we find the teacher to teach this other thing? Does that happen pretty regularly?
Yes, it's so wonderful, and it's a challenge as an organization that is predominantly volunteer run and very grassroots driven. So we try to create opportunities to bring on new teachers all the time. The classes that are programmed through the folk school are fee-based classes, and we generally want the people who are teaching those classes to have some experience and certainly a lot of knowledge around the subject that they're offering. But we want there to be more learning and spaces for hands-on participation beyond the capacity of a few volunteers at Tarweed Folk School. So one thing we are cultivating is a listserv, a community-based listserv, so that if somebody has an idea for a class, a work party, or a Skillshare, that they could offer it, and we can kind of help facilitate and promote these offerings that happen beyond the capacity of our organization.
Will you just name a couple, or maybe six or seven of the classes? We've talked a little bit about woodworking. We've talked a little bit about basketry. What other things and subjects are we talking about?
Well, this weekend we have a broom making class, a spoon carving class, and a class on building a mason bee house. Right now we have a Monday night class on weaving bands on a backstrap rigid heddle loom. This month we finished a really special class to me. I got to co-teach a stool building class with my friend Duncan Ellingwood, and students either paid for tuition or got scholarships to participate in the class to learn the skills, but they didn't pay a materials fee because all the stools that were built over the course of our five-week class are actually staying in our classroom for future student use. So that was a really fun experience for all of us because we were building something that felt a little bit bigger than ourselves. We have had willow basket weaving classes recently. We hosted a traditional ecological knowledge class on fire science and tending to fire. I hope to have classes around car mechanics and different aspects that help you feel empowered to fix the stuff around your life.
What inspires you to do this work and to be involved in Tarweed?
Well, I grew up in this place. I grew up on a farm, and my mom was a sewer, and she owns a clothing store. My dad worked with his hands in a lot of ways. He built cabinets for pay, but built our house and all the furniture in the house and raised beef cattle. And when I went to college, I was surrounded by a lot of inspiring people and coursework, but it wasn't praxis. We were not really taking the theories and the academics of what we were learning and applying it to the real world. And I think I did have some influential professors leaving college who really encouraged us to apply what we were learning in the real world. And so when I was embarking on young adulthood and thinking about, okay, what makes sense for who I am as a person, where I come from, and what I can do, and what brings me joy, a lot of that has to do with exactly what a folk school is: bringing together, working with your hands, working with people and people in your community, and connecting to place. So during the week, I also work as a carpenter and a sawyer. I work at a farmer's market. And so it really is meaningful to me to have connection in a lot of different ways and to help harbor that space for others.
Is there an average length of a class, and how do people find you?
Classes range from 3 hours long to full-day classes, two-day classes. The recent stool building class, we met on Tuesday and Thursday nights for 3 hours for 5 weeks. So they range quite a bit, hoping to accommodate people who maybe just want to dip their toes in or just have time for one evening, or people who really want to immerse themselves in a particular area of study. Our website is tarweedfolkschool.com, and our home is housed inside the oldest commercial building in Corvallis at Wade Hardware, 400 Southwest 2nd Street, across from the museum. And we don't have folks working inside the classroom all the time, but often if you're out there in the evening, you'll see our lights glowing and busy hands working in the classroom. We reserve scholarship spaces in every class, so folks can just email us if they want to participate in a class but need some financial assistance to do so.
Where are the other folk schools relatively nearby? Are there other ones either in the Northwest or in California or Idaho? Where is kind of the regional folk school map?
There are, I think, about 60 folk schools in North America. And, well, there's two folk schools in Washington that I know of. Arbutus Folk School is in Olympia, and a new folk school that's forming in Quinault in the Olympic Peninsula.
Time to inspire people down in the state of Jefferson or over in Idaho or somewhere to kind of expand it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Rose, for the work you're doing and for talking about the folk school. And I look forward to hearing more, and maybe one of these days I'll make it up to Corvallis. You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.